Ben Bernanke defends the Fed in Europe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke faced his European critics today. Speaking in Germany this morning, he defended the Fed's extraordinary measures to boost the economy here in the U.S. Foreign leaders are worried about how their countries will be impacted by the Fed's decision to pump another $600 billion into the system. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard reports.
The Fed chairman said his monetary stimulus was vital to promote American growth and reduce unemployment. At 9.6%, he said the U.S. level of joblessness is unacceptable, but he warned it could get worse. Bernanke denied that by printing more money, the U.S. is pursuing narrow self-interest. He said a robust American recovery would be good for everyone. It's the Fed's duty to provide enough stimulus.
Insufficiently supportive policies in advanced economies could undermine the recovery not only in those economies, but for the world as a whole.
But the Europeans remain skeptical, and especially the Germans. They say printing more money is a recipe for inflation, which is designed to drive down the value of the dollar and reduce U.S. debt. President Obama will face more European criticism at an EU summit tomorrow. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
To California now, where this morning a federal judge will consider a motion by Toyota to dismiss hundreds of lawsuits that have been filed against the company. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith is with me here live in New York with more. Good morning, Stacey.
Good morning.
So this has everything to do with that sudden acceleration problem that caused Toyota to recall millions of cars.
It does. And most of these suits are about why the cars accelerated. Toyota says the problem was floor mats sticking to the gas pedals. But these suits claim the problem is actually caused by electronic controls in the car. That could have huge financial implications for Toyota. Now, a government investigation didn't find any problems with the electrical systems, but the Los Angeles Times dug up some internal documents from Toyota. Those suggest the problem is an electronic one and that Toyota's known about it for years. So the judge has to consider all that. Meanwhile, Toyota is sort of just hoping the case will go away. Here's Hans Greimel, the Asia editor for Automotive News.
They've managed to contain it so far, so good. But as long as these questions about quality keep dragging out, the more damage it could do to their image.
And Stacey, how much has all this been affecting Toyota's bottom line?
Well, Toyota did just post a quarterly profit of more than $1 billion, but sales have been flat and Toyota has lost market share in the U.S. for the first time in more than a decade.
Okay, Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith here in New York. Thanks.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe are down right now. In Asia, it was a mixed picture after China told its banks to hold more money in reserves. The country wants to cool inflation, which hit 4.4% in October. Here in the U.S., we just got earnings from H.J. Heinz Company. It says emerging markets are buying more ketchup and baby food. On Wall Street yesterday, GM's successful IPO sent the Dow up 173 points to close at 11,181.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Toyota. Toyota is sharing technology and ideas for a better world. Learn more at toyota.com/ideas for good. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com.
President Obama has a new budget director. Well, new to President Obama, anyway. Jacob Lew, who was confirmed by the Senate yesterday, served as budget director in the Clinton White House. But this time around, he'll have a $1.3 trillion deficit to contend with. We've been talking about a couple of deficit-cutting proposals that have emerged since last week, one from the president's own deficit commission, the other from a bipartisan group in Washington. Well, Peter Coy has been digging into the details of both of them. He's the economics editor at Bloomberg Businessweek, and he's with me here in New York. Good morning.
Thank you.
Would both of these plans solve our debt problems?
On paper, yes, they would go a very long ways to solving it. But if you look closely, both of them are highly contingent on the assumption that past 2020, the government will somehow be able to get a handle on Medicare and Medicaid. If that doesn't happen, we're off to the races. The debt will just soar as a percentage of GDP.
When people hear about all these different plans, how do they know what to pay attention to? What should they be focusing on, and what might actually stick around and get into law?
I think we should be looking at the home mortgage deduction. For the first time in decades, there's actually a chance that that'll be curtailed in some way. Almost every economist you find will agree that that is promoting a lot of debt and not advancing the country in the way it needs to be going. And then the other thing is anybody going to come up with a good plan for the long-term problem of Medicare and Medicaid? We haven't seen it yet.
Because Medicare and Medicaid add up to the biggest share of our budget. Right.
Yeah.
Now, there's a new NBC Wall Street Journal poll out this week that says that 70% of people are uncomfortable with making cuts to programs like Medicare, Social Security, and defense, even in order to balance the budget. How can they get these things done if nobody wants to do it?
America has to grow up. We've seen what happened to Greece, Ireland, Iceland, when they let their finances get out of control. The markets can turn very quickly from supportive to bond market vigilantes on the loose. I talked to Pete Peterson, the 84-year-old guy who's contributed $1 billion of his own money to try to sensitize people about this.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he thinks his job is to change the public's attitudes. Once the public gets more receptive to this, then it will be possible for politicians to do the right thing.
Peter Coy, he's economics editor for Bloomberg Businessweek, and he's just done a big story about the deficit-cutting plans that are out there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And finally, the precursor to Facebook has sold at auction for about $30,000. The website is FaceMash, which was put together back in 2003 by Facebook's creator Mark Zuckerberg. Well, Facebook now has a half billion users. FaceMash launched with just 450. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Have you ever wondered how fast food restaurants make those burgers look so good when the real thing just doesn't measure up?
My medium, photography, is used by corporations to sort of sell an image that doesn't exist.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, picturing the real value of our food. We'll have the day's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.